17, verse 11, says, "Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And when he had entered a certain village, there he met 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off." Jesus now is wrapping up towards the end of his ministry. Right? He's been preaching now for about 3.5 years. And now he is setting up for his last journey down to Jerusalem. And as he's doing this, the Gospel of John tells us that he's not openly going down. At this point, the Pharisees and religious leaders are out to get him. They've already plotted how they can kill Jesus. And so, at one point they say, "Are you going down?" He's not going down openly, but he's kind of going over around about the long way down to Jerusalem to kind of throw everyone all off, because he's destined to go down to Jerusalem and be down there for Passover. And of course, we know that that's when he's going to die on the cross. But as he's traveling down through, heading towards Jerusalem, he's heading down between Jerusalem and then Samaria. Samaria is sort of half Jewish, right? There are Jews that mingled with the Gentiles, and they don't no longer worship down in Jerusalem. That they would turn around and now they worship up in their own area. The Jews saw them as hybrids. They thought they were worse than a Gentile. They were sellouts. So the Jews and Samaritans did not get along at all. We've come across several times with Samaritans as they're hanging out a little bit. We have the woman at the well was a Samaritan, right? And she asked Jesus, "Why are you talking to me? You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. We don't talk." You know, as much as we talk about sort of the tensions that we have today, right? We have racial tensions, we have political tensions, we have all these things. Nothing compared to where it was back then. But it's interesting how misery forms camaraderie. That in here, as Jesus is traveling down through between Samaria and Galilee, as he's traveling down through here, Jesus comes across some lepers. Now, leprosy was let's say, popular. I don't know if popular is the right term for it. No one, hey, it's a popular disease. But it was plenteous at that time. And in here, we couple leprosy as Hansen's disease. Typically they say it's not as contagious as it sounds. But leprosy back then also had a broader sense. They had carried out a lot of different skin diseases kind of fell underneath that leprosy thing. According to the law, that in here, that if you had leprosy, that in here you're considered unclean. In the religious system of that day, there's various things that kept you from worshiping with everyone else. And touching a dead body deemed you unclean. A woman during her period that deemed her unclean. And so she had to withdraw for a certain period of time. There are various other things that happened that would cause them to be isolated from the community worship that was together. Leprosy was one of those. And in here, they had leprosy. You had to go to the priest. He checked you all out. I'm glad I don't have that job. And turn around and check them all out, make sure if there was any spot. And then the whole process of getting restored was like a 10-day process. They check you out, put you in isolation again, check you out again, really make sure that you were clean before you were entered back into society. Leprosy not only had a physical ramifications. In here, what happens is it deadens the senses, and so they would turn around and get infections and cut themselves and not know it. That in here, various parts of your body, because circulations, would fall off. And so it was a very dangerous thing. And in here, they were required to yell out, "I am unclean," as they were going through. Oftentimes, unless you were a wealthy person who was able to have some servants and take care of you, 9 times out of 10, you were cast out. And you had nowhere to go. It was a very lonely disease. And so it's interesting that we come across through as Jesus is traveling, that here he finds a group of 10, because the lepers could only hang out with, yes, other lepers. And I find it interesting that here you had typically a Jew wouldn't hang out with a Samaritan, yet in this group, there's a Samaritan in the group. That the affliction that they shared gave them more in common than their nationality. And so he was just one of the guys. It didn't matter what you believe, because here in isolation, that here they had their friendships and stuff to go along with it. And here Jesus is traveling through. Word got out. Jesus has been around in this earth now for several years, ministering and healing all kinds of diseases. Actually, Jesus had healed leprosy before, and I'm sure word got out. Because there was no cure. It would be a miraculous thing to be cured of leprosy. And Jesus comes traveling through. There's 10 who hear him. And they shout out to him. Jesus. And they lifted their voice. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Relieve the suffering that we're going through. Jesus, have mercy on us. The isolation that we're feeling. Some of them, we have no idea how long they've been away from their family or friends. Husbands were separated from their wives. All because of this dreaded disease. The hurt and pain they're going through is very real in so many different ways. As I said, Jesus had healed leprosy before. It's interesting because at one point, Jesus came up through and came up to some lepers and he came up. Jesus touched them. And he healed them. So it's interesting to hear that there seems to be some distance here. They're shouting out to Jesus, says, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus, Master. And the term Master here is used only, usually the disciples talking about Jesus. Is Jesus really who he says he is? Is he truly God? Is truly Jesus the answer for everything that we have? And I believe he is. And you talk about America, we talk about the conflicts and the strife that we're having. You know what the problem is? We've taken Jesus out. That in my life, Jesus is the answer, the solution to what goes on in your life. He is the answer and he is the solution. If you believe that, then you would cling to him. Imagine these disciples, here they are, these lepers who are outcasts, and they come rushing through and say, Jesus, Master, heal us. Have mercy on us. They risk coming into the crowd. I was reading up on leprosy that in here, some rabbis would not eat anything. If there was a leper in the marketplace, he wouldn't eat anything in the marketplace at all. If a leper had been somewhere, the rabbis were telling people, don't even go near it. One rabbi turned around and said, when you see a leper, throw a stone at him. That way he won't get too close to you. Ay, ay, ay. And so here these lepers, they risk it, right? They see Jesus coming by, said he's the one, he's the cure, he's the answer. And they go rushing to him. Master, have mercy on us. Folks, if we really believe that Jesus was the answer, what would keep you from finding that solution? I think sometimes in our lives, we think Jesus is a solution, not the solution. We mix him in with everything else and tried everything all else. But really, if he is it, if he is the answer, how much should we pursue him? And all these things. Jesus turns around and says, look. So then he said to them, go show yourself to the priest. Jesus didn't touch him. He didn't command anything else. They come up to him, right? And the Bible doesn't say how far, but he's not laying hands on them. He's not touching them. At that point, he just shouts off to him, go see the priest. Of course, we know from Leviticus, the idea of the priest was to examine to make sure that the leprosy was gone. So Jesus says, go. Just go. Now this is an interesting thing. I don't know about you, but I like something tangible. Don't you? Right? I think sometimes living by faith is hard. Lord, give me something tangible, something that I can touch, something I can see. Give me a proof that everything's going to be okay. Throughout the scriptures, we've seen Jesus heal, and sometimes he touches. We've seen Jesus spit and make mud and put it on blind guys' eyes. We've seen him spit on people. We've seen him do all these type of crazy things, right? But it's something tangible that people can kind of hang on to. Now, the magic isn't in the spit, it's not in the mud, it's not in the hands. The magic, if you will, is Jesus Christ. He's the answer. I remember years ago going through the checkout counter. Now, don't judge me, okay? Don't judge me. But if you're going through the checkout counter and they got all those Gossip Meg sits there. And sometimes you just can't help but read them. I'm not asking for a show of hands. I'm just coming clean. Because sometimes I'll look at it and it's like, what? You know? And some of it, I mean, I'm not up on the celebrity, so I don't even know who half these people are that's on here. I don't care if they're divorced, and I don't care if they're talking to aliens. I don't really care about all that stuff. But anyway, I remember seeing there was a headline on there that talked about that some scholar had studied the scriptures out and found the magic formula to make God do what you want him to do. He studied the scriptures, and then there are certain words and certain prayers, and he scoped through all these things. I'll tell you, if you go through it, Sunday nights we're going through the Gospel of Mark. And we've seen Jesus healed. And we've really been puzzled because there's no pattern. Jesus doesn't do it the same way twice. Because guess what? There is no secret formula. It's Jesus. And sometimes you want that tangibility though. It's hard sometimes to live by faith. And so in this case, when Jesus says, look, I just want you to go, I believe it's just a test of their faith. Look, just go. And as they were going their way, the scripture says, and so they went, so they obeyed. Right? They couldn't say, hey, Jesus, hey, you know, can you just touch me? Hey, Jesus, can you just spit on me? Which sounds gross, but he had done that. Right? Then again, if I had leprosy, a little spit, I don't think it's going to bother me at all. It'll heal me. Right? They said, Lord, touch it, do something. Prove yourself somehow to me. And sometimes I think we can see in our lives where we don't get that. You ever had in your life where, you talk to some people and they talk about the skies opening, the angels coming, and all these miraculous things kind of go place. You're like, wow, that's so cool. I've never had that. I've never heard the voice of God. I've felt the voice of God. But I've never heard Him. Yet He has worked in my life time and time again. And sometimes what the Lord wants us to do is just be obedient. Right? He's not always asking us to do something hard. He's not always asking us to do something fantastic. He's not always asking us to jump through some of these hoops. He's not always looking for that thing. Not some ritual. Something special. He just wants us to be obedient. Just do what He asks. As a parent, I understand that. Right? How many of you as parents have told your kids to do something and they go through this whole story, they argue or they want to go through it, and you're just like, just obey! Right? What do you want from me? Just do what I ask you to do! Right? Oh! One of the lines, my children, God always got for me. Because they turn around and help you. My kid's upstairs. Shh, don't tell her. Right? But you ever had, not just this, but my other ones. I think it's just a kid thing. But turn around and never have your kid help you. But they're not really helping you. You know, they're off doing their own thing. Look, I asked you to do this, not that. And so one of my lines that will probably go on my tombstone with my kids is, look, you're only helping if you're helping. Right? You're only helping if you're helping. If I ask you to put this over here, I don't mean put it over here. I don't mean to pick this up as well. All right? Just do what I ask you to do. And how many times do you think God just looks down at John? You're only helping if you're helping. Right? Just do what I ask you to do. Don't worry about everything else. Go. Show yourself to the priests. And at this point, we really have this crisis of faith. We really come down to this crossroads. And you and I, we have the same thing. Every time we come down where God tells us to do something, we have a choice. We can do it or not. Right? The leper's guy came out and said, hey, Jesus, heal us. Touch us. Spit on us. Do something to us. Jesus did it. Just go. And I imagine the lepers were probably going to say, hey, Jesus is trying to get rid of us. Right? He's going to wait until we get down the road a little ways and Jesus is going to take off and we're left here high and dry, right? I mean, they had to really believe and head off to see the priest. but their faith was rewarded. It says, so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. The leprosy just fell away. Now, I hope when we get to heaven, there's like virtual reality or something like that. Because I love some of these scenes. You know, I've read them, but I like to see them. I'm a very visual guy. So, I don't know. It'd be cool to be able to, you know, have a little room in heaven where you can go into and rewind some of these events and watch it take place. Okay, yeah, I'm weird. And you guys are looking at me like, yeah, no, you're on your own. No, no one else wants to? I want to see the parting of the Red Sea. Right? I want to see that. Right? You know, I want to know as they're walking through if their fish were popping in and out. Right? Oh, come on! Right? I want to see some of these events that took place. It's like, oh! You know, I wonder here, as the leopards are going. I don't know if they ran. You know, if you knew, if you've been separated from your family for such a long time, and you knew this was it, right? I'm not going to waste any time. Do they run? Do they like, well, I'm not sure, but they kind of shuffle along, and maybe as they're walking along, you know, one of the guys looked at his arms, and his skin started to clear up. You know, maybe the guy was walking down the road, and maybe his nose had fallen off, and all of a sudden, it started to come back. Right? As they're walking down the road, all of a sudden, these miraculous things were happening. All of a sudden, now they were cleansed. I don't know how far they got before they realized, wow. Now, I bet you at that point they ran. Because we're going home. We get to be with all our loved ones. The days of being shunned, of being an outcast, of the pain, all these things that go along with it. The days of that is all over with. And I bet you anything that they were grateful. Right? Hallelujah, it's gone. All these things are now in the past. You know, it's interesting how we get so used to things in our lives. And we go down through, and whether it's a sickness or a scary event in our lives, that we get to a point where, you know, we kind of get used to it. And then all of a sudden, when it's gone, it feels odd. Right? Someone who's done with treatments with something, and all of a sudden, it's like, wow. You know, is it real? And then we're thankful. And the Bible tells us to be grateful. We should appreciate for what we have, the health that we have, the families that we have. Be grateful for all these things. And in here, I bet you everything that 10 of all 10 lepers were grateful. But you know what? God doesn't want us to be just grateful. He wants us to be thankful. So the story continues. That as they were walking on, he says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. That somewhere along the line, as they're all rushing through, imagine the guys were like, hey guys, hey, look at this! This is cleared up now. This, hey, me too! Look at this! And as they're running all through, the excitement just must have been palatable. Right? Woohoo! Look at me! Right? Pinch me! Is it real? And one of them along the way turned around and dawned on him that this was because of Jesus. And he stops and turns around and comes back. And the language here is really strong. He turns around and he glorified God with a loud voice. You couldn't shut this guy up. Last week we talked about the idea of going through the Psalms. And time again, it talks about singing with a loud voice. It talks about making a joyful noise unto the Lord. As Christians, that we should be loud about our faith. We should be loud about our praise to God. He's the one who gets all the honor. He's the one who gets all the glory. Folks, we shouldn't be quiet about these things. And this guy comes back and he is praising God for what he had done. He was thankful. He had a thankful heart. Not just gratitude. Not just grateful for what he went through. But in here, thankfulness has an action along with it. And he turns around and comes back to Jesus, throws himself at Jesus' feet, and puts his head down at his feet and worships him. That you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the one who's touched me. You're the one who made me whole. And the Bible says he was a Samaritan. He was the outcast of the outcasts. And I'm sure that didn't sit well with the Jews who heard this as Jesus is telling this account. It's like, hey, I'm thankful that God likes the outcasts. Growing up, my family wasn't all that important of a family. We didn't have a lot of fancy things, and we didn't have a name. And you know, I remember when we moved up north and went to school in Dyer Brook, Maine. I probably shared this with you before, but up there are certain names. If you had a certain last name, you were guaranteed something, right? You know, small, small communities are, right? You always have the name. Even today, I find it interesting, you'll see some of the people in politics or stuff like that. They'll, like, you know, think of a Kennedy. You know, it doesn't matter how many times you've been married over, they still keep the Kennedy in the name somewhere, right? Because, hey, that name means something. Boys, if it was all about credits, it was all about wealth, it was all about fame, it was all that, God would have nothing to do with me, but it's not about that at all. Jesus likes the outcasts. Jesus likes the unpopular kids. Right? I thank God for that. That He accepts me. Let me tell you something. If God can love me, or if God can accept me, you're a human. You're a human. And in here, this Samaritan comes down and throws himself down at Jesus' feet. And Jesus asked three rhetorical questions. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Were there not 9? Where are the 9? Where are the rest of them? And where there are not any found who return to give glory to God except for this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. It's interesting, Jesus uses a different terminology. Before this, we talked about being cleansed. He talked about being healed. The term here is different. You have been made well. Actually, when Jesus uses this every time in Scripture, what he's talking about is not the physical, he's talking about the spiritual. Your faith has made you spiritually healed. I believe this day, this Samaritan, because of his thankful heart, found the Lord. He had 9 who were grateful. They were healed. They got to celebrate going home to their families. They were able to do all these things, but only 1 found salvation that day. Because he was thankful. Because he realized, see, gratefulness is about me. I'm grateful for what I have. This morning, I'm going to make a whole big collection. This morning I got a bottle of hot sauce. Another bottle of hot sauce. I'm working through a whole bunch of them now. All right, I'm grateful for that. Because I like the hot sauce. It's good for the belly. Oh yeah. You know, right? I'm grateful because it's about me. What I get out of it. But being thankful means I'm thankful for someone, what they did for me. Right? And we have a lot to be thankful for. And as my heart gets filled with thanksgiving, it pours over. And in here, as we pour out to the Lord, Lord, thank you. Lord, I want to serve you. I want to worship you. And in here, we find the Lord in the middle of that all. If we are thankful. You know, I handed out that little list. Just as a simple exercise, right? three times a day, stop, be thankful. Say, God, thank you for this. Thank you for that. And it's really easy once you get going. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. Lord, give me a thankful heart. Lord, a heart that cries out to you. Lord, not be selfish in that. Lord, not just grateful. But Lord, help me be giving and serving and worshiping with thanksgiving in my heart towards you, Lord. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.